Let's turn our hearts to God in prayer and ask for His blessing to be upon us in the reading and proclamation of His holy word. Our Heavenly God and merciful Father, how good it is to be able to gather here for a second time on this day that You have set aside from the beginning of creation. We ask for Your Spirit to fill this building and especially the hearts of those gathered here. We pray that Your word would go forth with boldness and greatly impact the lives of those who hear it, and not just for this evening, but throughout the week and the remainder of our lives. Bless Your word as it is read and heard. May we be looking for Your praise rather than the praise of men. Keep sin and distraction far from us, and grant him who reads everything he stands in need of. In Jesus, our precious Savior's name, we pray. Amen. Our confessional reading for this afternoon is Lord's Day 5, question and answer 15. So the question before us then, what kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? The answer, he must be truly human and truly righteous, yet more powerful than all creatures. That is, he must also be true God. Our scripture reading this afternoon is Matthew 15, verses 21 to 31. Matthew 15, 21 to 31. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her, not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on a mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. The sermon this afternoon was prepared by Dr. Joel Beakey and is titled The Possibility of a Mediator. It has as 2 points, one, a question of great faith, and two, an answer of great value. I repeat, the possibility of a mediator, a question of great faith, and an answer of great value. Our question under discussion today, dear congregation, is one that puts weight upon the little word, then. What sort of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? What does that word then mean? That word then embraces everything we have been considering for the last weeks with all the preceding questions of our catechism, which have continually been cutting away at the righteousness of man and revealing to us our sinfulness. We have seen last time how that we ourselves and no angel and no creature can make the satisfaction that must be made between a holy God and our poor souls on account of our sins. Thus, every door was closed. Every possibility of man was cut off. But now our instructor asks, when it seems there are no more possibilities, what sort of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? Then, when all these things are true, when we are wretched and condemnable, when we do deserve temporal and eternal punishment for our sins, when there is no way of escape in anything in us, when we cannot give satisfaction, what sort of a mediator then must we ask for? This is a very, very important question. Where shall we then turn? Is there even room for a question like this? We have been hearing for many weeks all of our impossibilities, and yet we have heard the necessity of satisfaction. We have been placed, congregation, before an unspeakable dilemma. We must satisfy the justice of God, and yet we cannot satisfy the justice of God. We have no right to be delivered from the power of sin and death. We have no right to life, and yet we must find life. We must be delivered from our sins. Is not this question then really absurd? Is it just a tormenting, impossible question? Do we even have a right to ask this question? Is not all hope gone already? And if we are just condemnable sinners, is it perhaps presumptuous to ask this question, to even ask if there is a possibility of a mediator? How can you ask such a question when everything is cut off? Congregation, everything is cut off from the sight of man, but with the Lord, all things are possible. This is a legitimate question. This is a question of great value, of great possibility, of great importance. And it is through this question that our instructor wants to begin to open the way of salvation, to open that way from God's side, to open his one-sided way of free and sovereign grace. This question is a question of great faith. It is here that temporal faith stops. The hypocrite says, "This doctrine is hard. Who can hear it?" He goes his own way. He either rejects religion altogether because of its hopelessness from man's side, abandons the church, and goes back into the world, or else he convinces himself that he indeed can accept Jesus in his own strength, that he can work matters out through his own efforts, and so he builds his house of hope on sandy ground. He is like the rich young ruler who convinces himself, either through his free will religion or through his religious exercises, that everything is well from his side. He is like the foolish virgin who has a burning lamp, but who has not enough oil for when the bridegroom comes and finds the door to be shut. There are many who talk about a mediator. There are many who talk about grace, about Jesus, about the cross of Jesus, who are still building salvation with their own works. Thus, it is so necessary that you and I examine where we stand before God and in relationship to this great mediator. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to convince us of the impossibility of our satisfaction, but also to convince us to bow in agreement with our impossibility. Those are two separate things. It is one thing to be persuaded that there is no hope in me, and it is another to bow under it, to accept it, to embrace it, and to believe that salvation is wholly the blessing, the gift, and the grace of Almighty Triune God by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is here that our instructor would bring us. He would bring us to an absolute need of God's absolutely full mediator. He would teach us that for black sinners, there is a comely Jesus. He wants to bring us to that point where there is nothing in us, but where there is everything in Christ, where there is only death in Adam, and where there is only life in Christ. It is at this point that temporal faith stops. Temporal faith will not embrace the truth of death in Adam. It will not embrace the truth that there is nothing in me and everything in Christ. But where temporal faith stops, congregation, the Holy Spirit cannot but go on to work saving faith in the hearts of the elect. The Holy Spirit empties a sinner of self to fill him with Christ. He makes a concerned, seeking sinner in order to make a finding, possessing sinner. We have heard a few weeks ago that all we do only daily increases our debt. That is where temporal faith can go no further. But saving faith, though it gives up on self, cannot give up on the Lord. That is the mark of saving faith. It cannot give up on the Lord. And so it says in the midst of all this impossibility, O God, what sort of a mediator must I then seek for? Do you see what I mean when I say that this is a question of faith? The poor cut-off sinner says, Lord, there is nothing in me. There is no possibility. I am nothing but a bundle of sin and unrighteousness. I have striven. I have vowed. I have broken my vows. I have tried everything. I have come to my wit's end. There is no possibility in me. And yet, Lord, I cannot let thee alone. I must be saved. I must find a way of salvation. O God, what sort of a mediator then must I seek for? This is a question of great faith. You see this question worked out also, do you not, in the heart of the Canaanite woman of whom we have read. This heathen woman, coming out of the coasts of heathendom, comes to Jesus and pleads with Jesus and is cut off, it seems, step by step. She comes first with her daughter, then she comes with herself. At each juncture in her interview with Christ, the Lord speaks to her three times with the word but as the beginning of his response. But he answered her not a word. But he said, this is only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he said, it is not good to give the children's bread to dogs. Can you imagine getting those three answers from the mouth of Jesus himself, whom you believe is the Son of God? Temporal faith at that point would stop and go back home. Temporal faith would say, oh, I heard that he answers before a sinner's call. I heard that he never turns away one who cries unto him. I heard that he invited, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But I have experienced it differently. Three times I have sought to come to Jesus, and three times I was rebuffed. Temporal faith would say, it is enough. But what does saving faith say? Saving faith says, truly, Lord, I am a dog. Everything that you have to say about me is right. I am unworthy. I am not a sheep of Israel. I have forfeited everything. I have absolutely no right to be here, Lord, in terms of my own worthiness. But, O God, if even the secular dog owners of this world will give their dogs crumbs from their table, will not you give crumbs to such a Gentile dog as I am? Faith pleads on. Faith wrestles on. Samuel Rutherford said, faith is the only thing in all the world that cannot take a no from the Lord. Faith wrestles like Jacob, and it says, I will not let thee go except that you bless me. True faith is a plant of the Holy Spirit that cannot let go of God. This true faith weans a soul away from all self-possibility, but it brings a soul to knock at the door of mercy. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The door seems closed, and yet this woman goes on knocking. That is where this sinner is at in question 15. Everything has been cut off, and still he knocks. But now he is no more knocking on the door of his own possibility. Oh, what a difference, congregation. No more knocking on the door of his own prayers, on the door of his own tears, on the door of his own righteousnesses, or on the door of his own unworthiness. But now, there's only one thing left. I need a mediator. Give me Jesus, else I die. I knock at the door of heaven, a door that seems closed. I knock even as I cry out. The cords of death held me in deep despair, the pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled over my soul by grief and sorrow riven. Faith gives the power and the liberty to hold on, to cling on, to continue in prayer, and to seek a way of escape in God for a well-deserved punishment. Restless, desperate, helpless, poor, needy, and outcast, this poor sinner goes on knocking. What sort of mediator then must I seek for? That is faith, congregation. Faith is a soul-emptying grace and a refuge-taking grace. It empties the soul of self and it drives the soul to Christ. That is a place we would never come by nature, not as an empty sinner. We want Jesus as a full sinner. We want Jesus with our sins and with our worldly inclinations. We want heaven and the world together, but that is not faith. Faith empties us to make room for Christ. We must not misunderstand the Lord Jesus in this process. We must not really think that Jesus was pushing the Canaanite woman away. He seemed to be with one hand, but secretly in her soul, he was drawing out faith with the other hand. Really, inwardly, in the inner man, he was drawing her to himself and his own heart, as the greater Joseph was burning with love to make himself known to this sister. Thus, Jesus still today, my friend, empties sinners as an act of love to fill them with himself. Sometimes in our lives, we need great trials and disappointments and all kinds of things torn away from our side and from our heart to teach us our great need of solus Christos, Christ alone. That is a lifelong lesson. Repeatedly, we must learn that our salvation is in Christ alone. We must be emptied of our worthiness and of our unworthiness, so that in the depths of our poverty and need, this question comes to the foreground. Not just the first time, but all our life long. What sort of mediator and deliverer should I look for then? The answer is a very rich one. For one who is true man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also true God. A mediator is someone who stands between two opposing parties in an attempt to bring them together. This poor sinner who asks question 15 is asking God, what kind of a mediator must he seek for? Who can bring together a holy, spotless, perfect God who cannot look upon sin and this unholy, sinful, guilty, condemnable wretch? It seems so hopeless. And yet our instructor gives us an answer. He does not say, there is no mediator. Neither does he say right away, Jesus Christ. He unfolds for us the qualifications of that mediator. We will see more of that in coming weeks, God willing. But he tells us now just this much. He must be God-man. He must assume the human nature to his divinity. He must be very God, and he must be real righteous man. He must be without sin, without spot, without any blemish. He must be Almighty God, and he must be a suffering substitute as man. He must take our place as elder brother, and yet he must be Lord of lords and King of kings. We shall see in coming weeks all the reasons why this must be so. Suffice it now to simply say this, that the very nature in which we have sinned must make satisfaction for sin, so he must be man. And to satisfy God's justice, to take someone's place in the face of a perfect God, that person must be perfect. So he must be a real righteous man. And to have effect with God, and to not have to suffer in hell forever, to have infinite value attached to his satisfaction, he himself must be infinite God. Thus, says our instructor, he must be God-man. He must be the very Son of God, and we know that his name, congregation, is Jesus. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. There is a mediator. There is a name. There is a way of salvation for unworthy, damnable, hell-worthy sinners. There is one who takes over all the hell that a sinner deserves and gives him all the heaven that he has merited. There is one who takes over the sinner's perversity and gives him his holiness. His name is Jesus. He is very God. He is willing God. He is very man. He is willing man. He says, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. O my God, I delight to do thy will." He is perfect Savior. He is full Redeemer. He is the living God, and yet he is the real elder brother. More powerful than all creatures, and yet he became a creature and suffered all things like as we do, yet without sin. His name, congregation, is Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah salvation, for he saves his people from all their sins. What sort of mediator then must we seek for? We must seek for him who is God's provision. We must knock on the door that goes open in him, for he is the door, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the light. His name is Jesus. My dear friends, do you need a mediator who is very man and perfectly righteous? Do you need a mediator who is more powerful than all creatures? Do you need a mediator who is also very God? There is such a mediator. He is alive, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is almighty to save the greatest of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save sinners, and Paul added, "Of whom I am chief." Dear boys and girls, singles, fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, we must all stand before the judgment bar of God. O congregation, will we go on refusing to knock at the door of grace? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you have a mediator? Do you have someone who is more powerful than all creatures, who is very God and very man, to stand between God and your soul? If you do not, then I ask you, not my question, but God's question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Our question today is a great question, and the answer is a great answer. An answer of great value. But dear congregation, that answer has to come into our hearts. And shall that answer come into our hearts, that question has to come into our hearts. We have to know experientially our need for the question, shall we taste experientially the reality of the answer? Can you really sit under the truth week after week, year after year, and never need a mediator? Does it never trouble you that you are unprepared for eternity? Does it ever gnaw at your conscience that the saddest road to hell is that road which runs under the pulpit, past an open Bible, and through the midst of warnings and invitations? Does it never make you tremble? The day is soon coming when we shall all appear before God, and it shall then be too late to seek him. For God shall then say, "He that is unjust, let him unjust be still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still." My friends, hell is a place that has written above its entrance, "Too late, too late." Eternity is coming, and we are all but a heartbeat away from it. Our judge stands at our door. You and I do not know the date when we will die, but God has your name and my name written in his appointment book. And as surely as we shall die, so surely shall we enter into judgment with him. And as surely as we enter into judgment with him, so surely, if we do not have a mediator for our sin-stained souls, shall we perish. It is appointed unto all men once to die, and after that, the judgment. My dear friends, bow before God. Ask him to make room for the only mediator in your heart. Ask that you may know that mediator, that you may believe in that mediator. Ask him to show you in his sovereign grace the fullness of that mediator, to reveal him to your soul. And never forget, as death finds you, judgment will find you. As judgment finds you, eternity will open its arms to hold you and never to release you. Shall it be well, our souls must be dipped in the blood-bought righteousness of the Son of God. O congregation, if you go on in your own unrighteousness, if you go on trying to make ends meet with your own religion, if you go on in your own way, if you go on trying to avoid the necessity of a mediator, it shall surely go ill, eternally ill, with you. Last century, there was a preacher who told the following story. A member of his congregation who came to church regularly was living a life of habitual sin. When she arrived home one night, her daughter was reading the Bible, a daughter who set a better example than her mother. Her mother mocked her and said, "What are you reading the Bible for?" She came and sat beside her to poke fun of her. That night, the daughter awoke to sobbing. She arose and went through the house to find where it was coming from. To her great surprise, it was coming from her mother. She knocked on the door of her mother's room and went in. All her mother could say was eternity, eternity, eternity. The daughter said, "Mother, what do you mean by that over and over again, eternity?" The mother said, "Last night I mocked you for reading the Bible. I saw one word on the page, and as I came to sit beside you, and it was eternity. And I could not sleep, for that word eternity opened to me my whole past life. I am not ready to die. I cannot meet God. And yet eternity is at hand, and I must meet God. My daughter, everything is wrong with me." Dear congregation, dear friends, is everything wrong with you? Are you frittering away your lives without a mediator? Have you never believed on and surrendered to the Son of God? Is eternity real for you? Have you never learned to cry out, "Eternity, eternity"? Are you perhaps planning more for a 1 or 2 week vacation than for eternity? Sometimes we take trips and we spend much time in preparation. Of course, there is a certain legitimate amount of preparation needed for a trip. But we forget that there is one trip that we are all taking. Every day of our lives, we are journeying to eternity. And that trip, congregation, is a trip from which there is no return to our home in this world. That trip is to our everlasting home, be it the homelessness of hell or the everlasting mansions of glory. If you could take this one word home with you, if you would forget everything else of this sermon, and the Holy Spirit would bind this one word upon you, eternity, it could be the best sermon you ever heard in your life. Eternity. When we were in Scotland, we visited the church of Robert Murray M'Cheyne. Next to the church was a cemetery, and the first stone in that cemetery, a flat stone over which we all had to walk when we came into that cemetery, had only one word written upon it: eternity. That is where you will come. That is where I will come. On that day, congregation, we can fool no man, and we cannot escape God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It shall all be real in that day. I warn you with love, and I warn myself. If our life is not in that precious God-man mediator, it shall be dreadful to fall into the hands of a living God unprepared. This is the mediator for whom you must seek. There is solution in no other. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Blessed be God, this mediator is still available to you today. O young and old, before it is forever too late, hear the word of God. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Isaiah 45:22. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Amen.